everyone. Welcome to the Reach the Stars podcast. I am your host, Jonna Willoughby-Lore. And today my guest is Molly Mandelberg. She is the founder of Wild Hearts Rise Up and the creator of Your Money Machine, the Wild Woman's Approach to a Heart-Centered Sales Funnel. She does all sorts of cool things, and I think she's probably better at telling the rest of her bio than I am. But I just have to say that she is recording right now from her teeny tiny van that she drives around the country. And I think that's awesome. So, Molly, will you tell everyone a little bit more about you and where you come from?
Yeah, totally. So my name is Molly Mandelberg. My business is called Wild Hearts Rise Up, like you mentioned. And I work with coaches and healers and holistic practitioners and emerging thought leaders who are ready to expand beyond one-on-one work. So I help them get clients, but I also help them to systemize their brilliance and, you know, craft their deep work into inspiring content and hot copy so that they can reach more people and make more money with less time spent. And like you said, I do that from my teeny tiny house, but it's actually a very large van. It's a Mercedes Sprinter van. It's a 2013 3500, and I've completely converted it myself into a tiny home on wheels. I've been nomadic for about 12 years, and I just couldn't decide where I wanted to live full time because I have people that I love all over the place. And so my ideal version of reality was to be able to live everywhere. And so I built this little apartment that I could take with me wherever I go, which is pretty awesome.
It also is terrifying for me. My sister and her husband have a similar deal. They have a 5-wheel trailer and they just cruise around the country in their trailer.
Yeah. It's fun. And I'm also an artist and a writer and a maker of things. So that also fuels my time and attention.
Awesome. So will you tell us more about your process of converting your van and like?
Yeah. So actually a lot of people are converting vans right now. I think that quarantine has inspired a lot of people to realize that they can do their work from anywhere, or while they don't have a job, they might as well chase a dream. And so I've had so many people reach out to me and be like, what do I do? How do I start? And it's like, okay, step one, you get a van. And step two, you figure the rest out. I had no idea how big of a project I was getting myself into until I was standing inside of this van, ripping out a floor. Couldn't get the first step was to take the floor out so I could clean the bottom of the van and start putting a new floor in. And there was this one bolt that wouldn't come out. And I suddenly had to go into like problem solving mode of like drilling into this bolt and then like cutting the top of the bolt off and then like wedging it out and then finally getting the floor out. And that's really a metaphor for this entire build is like, you think you're going to go in there and just get this thing done. And suddenly you have to like problem solve and sort of order of operations, the whole project, because the wiring has to go in before the insulation is done, before the walls can go in, before the ceiling goes in. But then you have to know the wires are in the right place before you can put the roof in. And it's just all these different components. But in the process of learning this, which I did a lot of it on YouTube, and I'm about 2 years and 8 months into living in it full time. I started traveling in it as soon as I had the floor in. But in this process, I've become a carpenter, I've become a plumber, I've become an electrician. I did all the solar, all the electrical myself. And right now, yesterday, we actually just finished fixing a drawer that was messed up in the trunk, which is like a giant drawer that comes out in the garage. And I honestly can tell you that I'm not sure what's next. I think that this might be, there's always going to be little things to fix and upgrade and change and evolve, but I'm really closer to done than I've ever been before with the building of this house after almost 3 years. And it's been a huge life lesson, a huge like confidence builder of, yes, I can build anything. I can make things that I want to see in reality. I can just manifest and create into my literal reality around me and make it beautiful and functional and useful. And it's been an awesome project for sure.
So that is so cool. So I'm curious, like, how do you get Wi-Fi in your
Yeah.
Venue?
So most people know you can hotspot from your cell phone. My phone plan, which I've been on for like decades, doesn't have enough hotspot data, even though I have an unlimited plan. My unlimited plan throttles my hotspot data. So I just got a second phone from Sprint that has 100 gig of hotspot on the phone plan. And that I sit next to my Wi-Fi booster, or it's a cell signal booster. So if I have a little bit of signal, my booster just makes that cell signal stronger. And then that makes my hotspot work better. So I'm using my hotspot right now as we're talking.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's just so interesting. I'm like, I want to see what else is in your cool van. So anyone who's not watching the video, make sure you go to YouTube and scope out the video. You can see a little bit of her tiny house in the background.
Yeah, totally. There's more van build videos from me on YouTube too. You can check
We'll make sure we put links to some of that stuff in the show.
Yeah.
Go check it out. So tell me more about how you ended up starting your own company and like what your journey was before you did that.
Yeah. So I spent a lot of my 20s traveling the world in a backpack or in the back of my Subaru, going to music festivals or traveling abroad in the winter and really being pretty much broke, being really comfortable, having very little to no money. I would save maybe $1,000 and fly to Southeast Asia for 3 months. Like I did not do well with my finances, but I was really good at making it work. I was tenacious. I had a knack for finding places I could stay or finding places I could work or finding a job that I would stay at for 2 or 3 months and then quit and leave again. So I was very nomadic, but I always made it work. I never missed paying my phone bill or anything like that. And it was about 28 or 29 years old when I went to a workshop in New York, which I was really fascinated by. I was raised believing in some pretty far out woo-woo stuff. And I had a passion for past life regression therapy, which is about going into a hypnotic state and accessing potentially past lives you've actually had, or sometimes people can believe that they're fictional. Either way, there's miraculous healing that can occur by accessing these storylines. And so I went to this workshop in New York that was a 5-day immersion workshop. And when I left there, I decided I want to get trained in hypnosis so that I could use that as a better induction tool to do this if I was actually going to practice this on my friends or even start playing with it. And at the time, I was living in a tiny little apartment with my boyfriend at the time in Half Moon Bay, California. And it was like 350 square feet. There was no way I was ever going to be able to practice this on anyone, whether it was a friend or whether it was like a potential client. So I organically ended up finding this little office to lease and decorating it. And basically, when I signed the lease for this office, within 10 days, I had a business name, a website, a business license, business cards. I had signed this lease. I had business insurance. Like suddenly I just accidentally like popped into being a business owner. I didn't really intend for that, but I felt like if I was going to work out of an office, I should have liability coverage and things like that. Mm-hmm. So I accidentally started my business as a hypnotherapist. And within about a year, I realized that I was tired of talking really slow. I'm not a slow talker, you might have noticed. And I didn't want to do the induction part anymore. And I was noticing that a lot of the transformation my clients were getting was happening before we ever went into hypnosis. So I was like, okay, I want to be a coach. And as I did that, as I started trying to figure out what my niche was and who I really wanted to serve and how I really wanted to help them and what I could zero in on as like my focus. In that process, I started building out courses and developing email sequences and like geeking out on automation and on the tools that we can use to really streamline running a business. Mm-hmm. And as I did that, I was in this community of coaches and holistic practitioners. So I was making really close friends with a lot of people just like me who are trying to grow a healing business or a holistic practice. And I started to realize that this stuff I was geeking out on that I was really good at, they all sucked at. And I was thinking, oh, this is really fun. Like no one's going to pay me to do this. It actually took one of my friends sitting me down and being like, listen, we need your help with this stuff. And I was like, Karen, no one's going to pay me for that. That's the fun part. And she was like, no, it's really not the fun part. She had to like sit me down and tell me that this stuff that I love to do and that I was really like getting good at was really hard for her and for some of our other friends. And so I started just letting my friends hire me to do this funnel building and business back end stuff. And it just grew and grew from there. I had my first $5,000 month and then my first $10,000 month and then my first $20,000 month. My reality around my finances has completely changed from 5 or 6 years ago when I was, you know, a beach bum hitchhiking around Hawaii or wherever. And it's been this amazing upward spiral, realizing that I can still be me, this like rainbow, fabulous hippie warrior of light, and also be a successful entrepreneur and help other people to grow their like business based around being themselves and be successful in that as well. So it's been this awesome sort of ripple effect that I can actually help the people who are helping more people. And the more people I help, the more people they get to help. And there's just this like magnitude of beauty that ripples out from that. It's pretty awesome.
I love that. I am totally one of those people that's like, email funnel, I can't. I can't, yeah. I can't think like that. It's funny that you're like, oh, that's so fun. I'm so good at that. I'm like, I can't even think about like who I would send an email to in like 2 weeks.
Right. But you have a business that, you know, when Christmas is coming up, if you ran a flash sale or a special and had an email list of all your past clients or past customers, it would be easy to say, I need more money for Christmas presents for my kids, and send out an email to that list of past customers. And, you know, maybe 10 or 20 of them want to take you up on that flash sale. You can generate more income on demand that way, mm-hmm. by having people who still remember who you are or whatever. Yeah.
I definitely don't use my list as good as I should. And I'm working.
And that's all of us. I'm sure there's better ways for me to do it too. But yeah, I think recognizing that there's room for growth and then being willing to either figure it out or get someone to help you figure it out is really, I think, the key to expanding beyond what we think we're capable of.
So as far as potential clients, like what is something that you'd want a potential client to know or to figure out before they start meeting with you?
Like, good question.
What would help do your job the best if they were like, oh, I know at least these 5 things or whatever?
Yeah. So mostly I work with people who have already, so first off, I work with service-based practitioners. I don't often work with people like your business where it's really product-based or mm-hmm. really like tangible item that you need to promote and then sell and keep in inventory and things like that. I mostly work with information-based practitioners. So people who want to trade in wisdom and guidance. And of those people, they're usually on a spectrum of growth. And I've actually created a thought leader quiz that you can take on my website, wildheartsriseup.com/quiz, that will tell you what level of thought leadership you're at. And I sort of systemized this little framework that I've noticed. And the beginning of business, you're really trying to figure out what you're doing. Like I was just talking about, I became a hypnotherapist. I was trying that out. Then I realized I wanted to be a coach. And then I was sort of feeling out the waters of that. That is an amazing exploration stage of business to be in. And really at that stage, you're trying to master having powerful conversations, enrollment, so like sales, and having consultations that actually lead to package sales or session sales, things like that. And that is a beautiful place. And I actually have great recommendations for people who need support with that, the beginning of sales and figuring out who you want to actually be working with and what your real modality is. And then once you've got that figured out, you start realizing that with a lifetime of one-on-one work, there's only so many people you can help because you only have so many hours in the day. You're still trading time for money. So what I do is I help those people who have been in business for a little while, maybe a year or 2 years. They really feel like they know who their people are. They know who they're trying to serve and they know what those people want from them. And I help those people to turn that knowledge into a program or a course or a webinar funnel or an information product or a video training series or some sort of leveraged thing that now people can start buying that and it's not taking away from your time anymore. It's like we get off the time for money merry-go-round and actually start helping people to potentially receive your magic in groups or in droves without that overwhelming you or stressing you out in your business. So people who know who they work with, you probably already have a website. You've already been serving clients for a while and having great conversations and, you know, selling packages or selling sessions, and you're ready to move beyond that one-on-one work and add another element to your business model. That's who I work with.
Cool. Well, it's funny because my company kind of has a bunch of different parts to it. Like we have our pre-made gift type items, and then we do most of our stuff that we do is custom orders. And so I like to think of that side of the business as actually is more of a service business because we meet with clients and they tell us about the person that they want to give something to. And then we figure out what fits that. And as you say, you only have so many hours in the day, and I'm constantly looking for some way. Because I know that I do all sorts of other things besides just running this papercraft business. Totally. Obviously, I have a podcast and I'm a writer and a performer and all this other stuff. Yeah. So one of these days we should chat because I'm always looking for ways to like put some of that into something that people would say, oh, I want to buy that book or whatever, you know, like,
yeah, absolutely. Or even automate some of the process so that people can start answering those questions before you even get on the phone with them. And then you already show up with the ideas because they've filled out a form or whatever. I actually wanted to show you, oop, I unplugged my computer. because you're saying you dabble in both sides too. I dabble in the product side of things too. This is actually an Oracle deck that I spent 2 years making for those of you who are watching us on video. For those of you who aren't, you can check it out later. We'll give you a link to it. But yeah, I realize that as I systemize more of my business and I get more time for me to drive around the country or to write my latest book or, you know, have time for passion projects, that's sort of the beauty of automating some of your business is you get more time for the things you really want to create. And your life isn't just about serving your clients and taking care of your family and going to sleep and waking up and doing it all over again. So I spent 2 years making this 60 card deck with a book inside of it that explains everything. And that was really fun for me.
That's awesome. Oh, yeah. Get one. So I love that you, got your start on your entrepreneurial journey by being interested in past lives. And I'm curious if you want to talk more about that, just because I think it's super cool. And I totally believe in having past lives and I don't know. Have you ever met anybody who you know that you knew in another life before?
Yeah, I think most of the people that we have deep relationships with, we've been in other lives with them before, definitely. I was really lucky to be raised by a mom who already believed in that stuff. So when I was growing up and I would ask questions about life and the universe and how this all works and why we're in bodies and all that kind of stuff, she would have very tuned in answers for me. She spent many years channeling the Akashic record before I was born. So she was kind of super far on the woo spectrum. And so I've always believed in this and I've always kind of thought I'm not supposed to talk about it. And as I've gotten older, I've realized, oh, there's like actually a whole community of people, a whole network on this planet of people who do get this and who do believe in this. Cause I grew up in a really Christian town. So my mom was always like, oh, we talk about this at home, but like, don't talk about it with your friends. She didn't want people to think I was crazy. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think that there's sort of, I don't know how deep you want me to go, but there's like carasses of souls. There are group communities of souls that are more close knit than other people. And everybody has a close network like that. And that the people we have deep relationships with in this life, like our parents and our spouses and our like passionate love affairs and our closest friends, we've had those relationships in different ways before. Like maybe your best friend was your mom in another life. And that's why you have that like close kindred spirit feeling with them. Or maybe, you know, your dad was your brother in another life or sister or whatever. Mm-hmm. That I think we rarely come into the same relationship dynamic in another life with that same person or that same being. But I think we come in as different roles and different archetypes with each other so that we can play out different aspects of our relationship and keep learning from each other. The whole point of incarnating into a physical body is to learn and to transcend and to self-actualize and evolve and start coming back to your deepest truth, which for most of us is the fact that we are all one and that love is everything. So the more that we can stop judging each other and hating each other and believing in the separation and start tapping back into the oneness and the truth that everything is love, I think the sooner that we can change this planet and become a happier species and maybe stop having to incarnate in such trauma and drama in the future, hopefully.
I hear that for sure. Cause I definitely have people, one person in particular that I know that he and I have been in every single life together in some way. And it's really a wild feeling when you meet somebody like that and you just kind of instantly know things about them that you didn't know about them. And like, you can feel the way that they feel without anybody saying anything. And it's just really, I don't know. I think it's such a super special thing to have someone who kind of feels like your soul family. Like you just.
Yeah. The soul recognition. Yeah. You already know them. Yeah. I love that. That it's a powerful experience and it can happen romantically and it can happen platonically too. And both are really powerful to experience. Definitely.
Yeah. It's very odd to meet someone and then, you know, instantly be like, I shouldn't tell you that I love you. Cause we met 5 minutes ago, but I can't feel like that. I'm a crazy person, you know? And I just think that, I don't know, obviously there's people out there who believe in it and people who don't, but I see no harm in believing in it, because if it's true, cool, you get to believe in it. And if it's not, and it made your time on earth better and made you feel happier and more connected, then like, how is that a bad thing? Like, why not believe in it?
Exactly.
You know,
it makes my world better. I completely agree. Yes. 100%.
I wanted to make sure you get a chance to talk about any current projects you're working on or things that you want people to know about that you're putting out there in the world at this
job. Yeah. So my most exciting offering, I'm not sure when this episode is going to air. Right now I'm launching a program called Create, Launch, Deliver, which is specifically about course creation and program creation. So it's about going through all the steps of creating the offering, launching it into the world, and then following through with delivering it. And whether that's on a media platform or whether that's live calls, and really just downloading all the brilliance that I've like learned and worked for and systemized and done wrong and figured out the right way to do it over the years, and actually putting that into a course that's going to walk people through it step by step. And what's exciting about it is a lot of courses, you have to do it on your own or watch a video and then pause and figure out how to do it. These are going to be really deep calls where we do a lot of the work on the calls together. So that's starting on November 5th. I'm not sure when this is going to air, but if you miss that, feel free to get in touch with me. I'll let you know if it's possible to still jump in on it, and if you want to catch up. Or my favorite offering that I invite people to is something called MAGIC, or Magnetic Influencer Collective. And that'll be starting again early 2021. And that's a 6-month program really about the accountability and support you need to market your business. So a lot of people are really great at what they do. They suck at talking about what they do, and they suck at following through with social media or emails or putting all those pieces of the puzzle together. And I've created a group program where we actually do that all together, and we keep checking in on a regular basis over 6 months, asking you what you're creating, giving you tools if you need them to follow through with that with ease, and then celebrating you as you take big strides in your business. And the people who have been in that program have actually found so much more ease, so much more automation, created so many more offerings in their business that they can now share on any platform, and just create that sense of like confidence and flow with the menial, annoying tasks that if we don't do them enough, we don't really get good at them. And that should be starting again, I think, late January, early February. I haven't decided the launch date for that yet, but that's called MAGIC, Magnetic Influencer Collective, and that'll be coming up soon.
Cool. Oh, awesome. So I will put links to all of Molly's stuff in the show notes. So at the end of all of my podcasts, I ask all the guests the same 5 questions. So it's 5 questions, guys. Woo-hoo. Okay. Number 1, tell me about an experience in your life, like a single moment that changed who you are today.
A single moment. There's been so many of them. I'm like trying to, I mean, speaking of soul recognition, I'll just go there and say the first time I met my first love, I had been walking through the world with this agreement of I'll never fall in love, because I had seen my grandparents so madly in love. And then my grandmother died, and then my grandfather died. And I had like made this decision in life that I'll never fall in love, because even if you live happily ever after, one of you has to die first. And that all went out the window when I met my first love. And I had this radical transformation of recognizing it is absolutely better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. So that was a huge transformation for me, becoming someone who is willing to care after being sort of cold and heartless for a while.
It is. It's definitely a risk putting yourself out there to love somebody else like that.
Yeah.
It certainly is. But it is totally worth it. Okay. Number 2, when you feel defeated or overcome, what do you tell yourself to keep going?
I have an amazing set of tools called Access Consciousness. It's like a whole school of thought that's like law of attraction on steroids. It's so much fun. But one of the core tools in Access is to ask questions. So whenever I get to that kind of stuck place, or that really like I can feel the trauma and the drama rising up and like feel defeated, I ask questions. And some of the questions I would ask are, what else is possible here? What's right about this that I'm not getting? Who am I today? What grand and glorious adventures will I be having or creating? what else is possible and how does it get any better than this are the main ones. And also recognizing we're empathic creatures and that we're picking up on other people's shit most of the time. Excuse my language. I forget if I can swear on the show.
All day, every day up in here.
Yeah, 99.99% of the stuff that we're feeling on a regular basis, especially when it comes up like that, like really aggressively, it's often not ours. And if we ask the question, who does this belong to, and say return to center with consciousness attached, it actually lifts some of that garbage off of us so that we can be ourselves again without other people's stuff. So those are a bunch of, like, I just gave you six tools or something like that. But those are the kinds of stream of consciousness questions I start asking myself to get back into the energy of me and the energy of ease, joy, and glory, which is all from accessconsciousness.com if y'all want to check it out.
That's awesome. I started reading this book written by John Edward, the TV medium kid in the 90s. And it was about like just starting your journey into like intuition and psychic intuition and stuff like that. And he talks a lot in there about having psychic self-defense and kind of having your own little safe word as a way to block out like negative psychic energy that's attaching to you. And that's just what that makes me think of.
Yeah, totally. Who does this belong to? Does that? That's the same thing.
Yeah. Like, where is this coming from? It ain't me, babe.
Not mine. Send it back. Not mine.
Okay. Number three, tell me about a way that you overcame a failure or a mistake and what you learned from it.
Yeah. So speaking of course creation and like program development, my first two or three courses were total flops. I did it all wrong. I didn't market it well. I didn't name it right. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know who I was serving. I didn't know who I was marketing it to or how to market it well or have any audience to really market it to, any of that. And by doing that wrong and not giving up and pivoting and making it a learning opportunity and just taking what I got out of it by the experience and then doing it again and getting mentorship and getting resources and just studying the crap out of it. Those failures made me good enough at this that I can confidently share that knowledge in a program of its own now, which is so meta. But I think that I'm going to call out my own generation and say that millennials have a little bit of a, you know, participation award kind of issue where we think, oh, we played, we did our best. Oh, well, it didn't work out. When really, if we were willing to just fail 100 times a day by doing, by trying, by moving forward, that we would learn so much and we would be capable of so many more things. But we have to be willing to fail first. So I learned a lot by screwing those programs up. And I learned a lot by running my business bad. And I learned a lot about how to run a business the better way by doing it all the wrong ways first. So be willing to screw up. Whoever's listening, this message is for you. Be willing to screw up.
I had a similar message in episode 5, which was titled Failing Relentlessly. It was just like, continue failing. Fail so often that you only track the yeses, you know? Like,
yeah, exactly. Shoot for no, enjoy the S's more. Definitely.
Exactly. Okay. So number four, what one trait or habit is most responsible for keeping you on track?
I think really being mindful of my mindset. I think that's the most important thing to me. When I notice that everything's kind of going to shit or that, you know, I don't feel well, or that I'm not happy, or that work is going poorly, I return back to how am I taking care of my mind today? So whether that's taking a walk with the dog, whether that's doing yoga, or whether that's meditating, I'll say writing morning and night before I get out of bed and before I go to sleep at night, I write a full page of basically positive aspects and like convincing my mind that things are going well. For me, writing is a huge mindset tool, and I encourage anyone who can muster up the strength to write anything to do that. But in general, mindset is definitely the most important thing, I think, to not giving up and to actually living your life in a state of joy and bliss. And there are so many tools out there. There's so many resources to harness your mind and to control your mind. And it's not easy at first. It's really struggle and it's hard, but it's a practice. And if we are willing to do the practice, the reward is like beyond what anyone could ever imagine, like really blissful orgasmic states of being that anyone can have access to if they just harness the mind. So I would say mindset in general and writing more specifically.
That's awesome. A random, totally random other question. How do you get mail when you drive around all the time?
Yeah. So two ways. I have it's called Anytime Mailbox. That's for my business, and that they scan in my mail, which I don't get any mail there. That's just so that I have a business address. And then I have my mom open my mail at her house. But packages are kind of complicated. If I'm going to get a package, I have to like send it to the next friend's house that I know I'm going to be at in a few weeks or months. Or Amazon lockers work for packages if I need to buy something online.
Cool. I was just really curious. I was like, how do you do?
My mom opens my mail. Short answer.
That's awesome. Okay. Number five, what one piece of advice that's the best piece of advice you've ever gotten? And what advice would you give to other people?
The best advice I've ever gotten. I think being you is a contribution. That's back to access consciousness. I think that someone gave me permission to be more of myself. I don't know who gave it to me. I feel like that's been a theme coming at me from many different mentors and guides, that being me is the key to being happy. And it's also the key to making the difference that I want to make on this planet. Not to try and mimic some other expert or to mimic some other person in your life who you think is awesome, but to like really stand in who the fuck are you and why are you here and what's special about that and how can you be more of that and what would it take to give yourself permission to be all of that, and that is actually a contribution here on this planet. That I think is the advice that's helped shape me the most and helped shape my life the most. Because you can tell I don't really live anybody else's life. I'm very much doing my own version of what living in a body should look like. And the advice that I would give to others is, in addition to that, to be you, to be unapologetically you and unapologetically obey the laws of your own nature. I would say, we already talked about failing, being willing to go big. I think just to not give up. There's a lot of people I think right now who are recognizing that the job they've been doing that now they can't do, or that they're doing from home, isn't really fulfilling for them. And that there are other ways to make a living. There are other ways to live your life. That I would say, stay curious. Don't give up on figuring out what that is. Be willing to let that inner call you forward to seeking it out. And let that curiosity sort of run your life until you figure out who you want to be and what you want to do. And don't be afraid to ask for support, whether that's from a neighbor helping you move boxes or whether that's from a mentor helping you set things up and figure it out. I think the people who have decided something is impossible have shut the door on every possibility. And if you're willing to just not know, but you're willing to figure it out and get help figuring it out, absolutely anything is possible. And so, yeah, back to mindset, get curious, ask big questions, take bold action, and remember that you're here for a reason.
I love it. I love it. Oh my God. I usually try to think of like a couple, like one or two quotes from each show that I throw into the show notes. And I'm like, it's going to be so hard to pick two from this show.
Oh, awesome. I got to say, this has gone in so many places that I've never been interviewed to go to these places. So this is really great.
Oh, podcast episode. That makes me really happy. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So that is the number five of the five questions. So, is there anything else that you want to add? Any, info you want to put out there or anything like that?
I mean, I have a podcast and a YouTube channel and a fun Instagram feed. If anybody wants to follow my travels or stay in touch, please feel free to reach out. I would love to get to know anyone who's listening to this and checking it out.
Cool. So tell everyone where they can find you.
Yeah. So wildheartswithanSriseup.com is my website, and you'll see tabs on the top for the quiz and the Oracle deck and van life and all of that. That's really the place. On Instagram, it's wild_one_rising.
Cool. Awesome. Well, I will put all that in the show notes for all of you who are listening and don't have time to write it down right this second. And thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Jonna. And thanks everyone for listening.
Awesome. And I am going to be on her show at some point. So once I get the link for that, it will also be included in the show notes. So you can listen to them back to back if you want to.
That would be fun.
Awesome. So I hope everyone has a wonderful week, and thank you for hanging out with us on the Reach the Stars podcast. If you love this show, go to our Patreon. It's patreon.com/reachthestars to support us and help me keep this labor of love going. And if you could review us on iTunes, that would make my little heart very happy. All right. Bye, everyone. Have a good week.
A single interaction has the power to change your life forever. This is a place for the stories of those moments. Stories of pursuing dreams, overcoming tragedy and failure, of coming back to life after so much of what feels like dying, of continuing on with only a vision as a map. This is the place where those moments live on. Come sit by the fire, look up at the stars, and be forever changed too.
Thank you for being with us on the Reach the Stars podcast. Our theme music is generously provided by Byrocratic. You can find him on Bandcamp.com. Thank you to all of our current patrons, guests, and everyone else who helps make this dream a reality. We are so proud to be building this amazing community with all of you. If you love this podcast, please consider sharing with a friend, leaving a review on iTunes, and becoming a patron at www.patreon.com/reachthestars. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel to see the videos of these conversations. We'll see you next week. In the meantime, do something cool and tell us about it.